Welcome, everybody. This is the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality and a nice scent to you and the planet. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm your host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how high are you?
Hi, Scott. You know, you sure telegraph it from miles away.
But nobody knows what we're talking about.
April 20. Today we're recording on April 20.
And so let's see, it's the fourth month, 420. That has a significance for some people, doesn't it?
Well, there's this silly association that 420 is some kind of a code for getting busted for having marijuana on the person. So
right.
From God knows when, many years, it's been celebrated as a holiday when police don't interfere with people and let them just be. Mm. Even though, anyway, maybe you could say it better than I.
Everybody's smoking up today?
Well, not everybody. I mean, I've given it up for Lent. But anyway, the point that I wanted to highlight is the following. I noticed on the news that they're showing these young people sitting around in parks, toking up and all of that. And even the commentator is saying, most thinking people, including the police, are now admitting that marijuana is less addictive than alcohol or tobacco. It has no deleterious effect. The only thing it's really causing is that it can get you a criminal record, even for a simple possession, which is, I don't know what to say about it. It's about as stupid as it gets.
We have prohibition, don't we?
We have prohibition, and we have already proved to us that what prohibition does, it creates black market and gangsters.
Well, I live in Vancouver, BC. It's a port city, and almost every day, the front page of the newspaper or the front page of the newspaper's website has an article about somebody being shot, and about 80% of the time, they are people of interest to the police, code for criminals. And,
yeah.
Of course, it also usually happens, although there are times when it happens midday, but a lot of times it's like 3 in the morning, which would suggest that it is people that are up to something other than sleeping, which you should be doing at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, well, so what do we have here? We have an underground economy, which puts a lot of money into the hands of people that are working in it, but unfortunately they're doing it illegally, not in the open, which means that it's not taxed, it's not tracked, it's not insured. I mean, we have a major segment of the economy operating off the books. And what I'm thinking, the only reason why the politicians are blocking the passage of an intelligent law is that they're on the payoff, that the gangsters themselves are paying the politicians to keep the status quo. Because a moral thinking, intelligent person could not defend this position.
Well, Martin, I think that, I have no idea, right, obviously, but I think, too, that there's two philosophies that I see running rampant in our society. One is put them in jail.
Right.
And I forget what the other one was. What I was going to say was, is it a criminal offense or is it a medical emergency type of thing? So someone's on heroin and they're addicted and, you know, do we help them get over their addiction? Do we help them with whatever mental issues they've got?
Oh, yeah.
The addiction.
I see where you're heading with this. This
or
is
do we
just
throw them into jail, right?
Kindness or a rod?
Yeah. Yeah, do we just – yeah, so which way is it? And I think that's the kind of the struggle. And, of course, if you don't have things that you can say are illegal, then you have a real tough time being the rod, right? So I
Yeah.
think that
So,
they.
well, let's start with the first premise, and that is it bad for us?
Well,
Do we need
maybe.
to be, do we need to really limit it? And of course, the only argument there is that no, it's really not that bad for us, but it's a gateway to other stuff.
Right, so we're talking specifically about marijuana, not
Right. Yeah,
heroin or coke.
I'm not advocating for open sales of heroin. That's so addictive that it's really only should be on prescription.
Okay, well, but I mean, that would also be an answer to that issue, wouldn't it?
Yes,
Go
it would.
see your doctor, go into a special home or a special hospital or whatever, and have your hit, and then go back into society.
Well, people who are addicted to heroin are functioning perfectly fine.
Some.
The only time they are not functioning well is when they go through withdrawal. And in fact, we have invented drugs, the morphine type of drugs that are from that same family. Oxycodone, Vicodin, OxyContin. And people get merrily addicted to that.
Well, we live in a society of addictions. We have two types. We have those that are acceptable and those that aren't. And
Yeah.
tobacco and alcohol were considered more acceptable 50 years ago than I think maybe they are today in terms of some of the activities that occur around them, and like drinking and driving or smoking.
Right.
But
So throw it back to 1920s when we had full prohibition of the alcohol going here in North America. The Europeans never went that crazy. But anyway, so in North America you had the prohibition, and you had Al Capone and his people, and you had the Kennedy family making huge money in bootlegging, and I don't know who else, whose else's grandfather made the big bucks back in the 20s. In Canada it was the Bronfman family, right?
Yeah. And today it's the Bacon family in Vancouver.
Today is the Bacon family who's making gigantic amounts of money off of marijuana. I mean, I saw a picture of a room, a bedroom size room filled with cash to about 6 feet of depth.
Wow.
And it was no fake. There was a lane down the middle, and you could just see that this was no fooling. This was just loaded full of cash. Well, you don't have that kind of money without moving a whole lot of merchandise. But also, you need to grease the skids, so to speak, right? You need to pay off everybody along the way so that they look the other way. And from time
Definitely.
to
You
time,
know, that's really true because I've talked to a number of people that I know who have or had experience
With the law.
with the law, and they both voluntarily told me that, you know, the police officers, I'm not saying every police officer, I think there's certain people that will contact a gang leader and say, you know, it's time to arrest somebody. And so then the gang leader will say, okay, go to so and so, such and such a place at this time, and you'll catch a couple guys or a bunch of guys there, whatever. And it's always the low end, you know, guys
Yes.
that,
Yeah, they
and
just offer the call of the herd, right?
And I
Yeah,
have a
some
friend
idiot.
that's what happened. Like he was broke, he was unemployed, couldn't get a job, and some guy was paying him $25 an hour to do stuff around the pot growing facility because it was
Right, so
marijuana.
he was maintaining a grow operation, right?
And I'm not sure exactly what he was doing. You know, I don't think he was delivering any pot or anything. And he happened to drive in with his truck, and he was the only one there, except for
Oh,
the police. You
so he
know,
got busted
he
and
got
this.
busted. You know, and they were. You know, the judge says, "Too bad. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, we can see that
Yeah,
you had very little to do with this, but unfortunately, you're the one we caught, and you were there, and it's not legal to do this."
and it's 2 years. Thank you.
Yeah. And I don't even know if he actually went to jail. I never asked him that. I got the feeling actually he didn't. But
Okay.
he said, you've got the record, so way to go.
Well, I have a friend who was working for the government, and he says to me, "Well, do we know who is in charge of the drug trade in this part of the world?" And the answer is, "Yes, we do." we know who these people are. Primarily the motorcycle gang or people associated with that. The second question is, do we know where they are? Oh, yes, we know where they are. So do we really want to put an end to it or don't we? Because if we did want to put an end to it, we would know how to do it. So why is there no will to do it?
Well, let me expand this a little bit past the marijuana. And everybody disliked the Taliban in Afghanistan. And the last year that the Taliban were in Afghanistan before they got kind of kicked out, there was like 10 acres that were devoted to poppy seeds,
right,
which became heroin. And now, I'd have to look, but it's like thousands and thousands of acres. So what the Taliban was really doing that was ticking everybody off was cutting the supply of opium to the rest of the world. And so, you know, to me, that's as big a reason as any. Some people talk about a pipeline and other reasons, but, you know, it just doesn't look like it was to, you know, go and help anybody. It was to look after, you know, oil and drugs. So
let me turn it around for you. Had we, as in we Americans, or had we directed our corporations to purchase the raw materials from the Afghani farmers, would we have any Taliban issues?
What raw materials are you talking about?
Well, the opiates, the raw materials that come out of the poppies, the goo.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called, I forget the word. But anyway, had we gone in there and started purchasing these raw materials, the cash crop.
Oh, instead of shooting.
Instead of shooting, we would have completely controlled the country. There would be no Taliban, no power, because the only power Taliban gets is because they give the farmer $20 for a pound of this stuff. Otherwise, the farmer would have no time of day for them.
Well, and it probably wouldn't have cost billions and billions of dollars and tens of thousands of lives.
And IEDs and dead boys and battle shock and PTSD and going off the rails, shooting up 16 innocent mothers and children.
Yes.
I mean, that was one heck of an incident. I don't know whatever happened to this poor guy who was on his fourth turn or tour of duty through this wartime.
Yeah, and all of us, he's somewhere awaiting trial.
Well, of course he's awaiting trial. They're going to make a patsy out of him because, after all, he did it. But who sent him in there? I mean, who can expect for the guy to not crack? Four times around, I don't know how many years this means. I don't know enough details on it, if a tour is 9 months or whatever the run is. Put a guy into that kind of a melting pot or whatever you want to call that terrain and expect him to last.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Martin, so we've been talking about addictions. We've been talking about how you handle addictions. We've been talking about 420 day. And, we've gone into the opiums and all the rest of it.
Well, I think we've been ranting pretty powerfully.
We have been, and I want to add to it.
Go for it, baby.
All right, because I want to put in the crosshairs Coca-Cola. I don't know.
Oh, you mean the cocaine in the Coca?
No. I want to talk about the drink itself a couple days ago, because in Wellington, New Zealand, a New Zealand woman who was 30 years old died, and they say that a major reason that she died was because of Coca-Cola. Of course, Coca-Cola, they're saying, no. You know, she drank a lot of Coke. If you drank a lot of water, you would die too. But so let me give you a few of the facts. The facts are she's 30 years old. She's a homemaker. She's got 8 children. She died of a heart attack. Oh, sorry, it was in February 2010. But
the court is taking its time.
Yeah. And she drank between 8 and 10 liters, which is between 2 and 2.5 gallons, of regular Coke every day. And she smoked about 30 cigarettes a day. So when I read this, the first thing I thought was her partner, I don't think she was married, but someone had to father the kids and she was living with a guy, should be put in jail for assisted suicide.
That's a reasonable thing, yeah.
You know,
well, so
that was the
clearly
first thing
this
that went
woman,
through my head was
yeah,
that guy.
clearly this. Sorry, this woman was addicted. I mean, there's no ifs or buts about
No,
that.
she was totally addicted to coke, and she was totally addicted to her tobacco, and nobody gave her any help. So that was kind of the one thing. And then the second thing that amazed me, it was a USA Today article that I was reading, for those of you that want to look it up. They said that it's well demonstrated that excessive long and short-term cola ingestion can be dramatically symptomatic, and there's strong hypothetical grounds for this becoming fatal in individual cases. So then, of course, Coke, you know, they had a statement, and their statement was, you know, we concur with the information shared by the coroner's office and that the grossly excessive ingestion of any food product, including water over a short period of time with inadequate consumption of essential nutrients, because she barely ate. All she did was drink Coke, smoke, and, you know, and she'd have a couple bites to eat. And the failure to seek appropriate medical intervention when needed can be dramatically symptomatic. So, and I have looked for the statement, like, you know, I've gone in Google. I put the whole statement because I want to see the whole statement because, you know, I think, you know, newspapers take stuff, you know, they just take the little bit that they want. Because to me, what Coca-Cola should have said was, you know, this is a tragedy. This is, you know, we're just absolutely shocked. And we understand that, you know, there are addictions in the world. And, you know, it's not usual that we hear about someone this addicted to Coca-Cola. But we have now decided that what we're going to do is partner with some sort of organization that deals with addictions to kind of get the message out about, you know, eating properly and not, you know, drinking massive amounts of anything. But, you know, like take some sort of action to do some good out of the bad. But all they said was, oh, you could drink too much water and that'll kill you too, right? And
right.
I think somebody in 2007 died because they were as a hazing and they drank so much water in a very cold environment while they were dehydrated that and they ended up dying. And there was somebody like 7 years
Scott,
earlier that I found. But, I mean, that's two people from drinking
water. No,
water.
Scott, this happens very frequently. Like, people who either are participating in some drinking contests, like I remember a 28-year-old woman died because she drank too much water all too fast because she was going to win some contest, like get an iPod or something like that.
Yes, that's true.
People running at marathons, they hydrate themselves so well that they upset their sodium-potassium balance. And their heart goes into some kind of arrhythmia, and they go through a heart attack type of an affair.
Cool.
And this happens. So I totally sympathize with Coca-Cola on this one, because you know their business is selling Coca-Cola.
Right.
I mean, you can take a car off the lot and drive it right in a wall full speed. You can take any one thing. You can take salt and kill yourself with it. You can, I mean, gosh, how many people commit suicide by food slowly?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, obesity is the major source of death. Cancer is the, how do I put this? Over 50% of people die of heart disease. That's all food and lifestyle induced. 35% people die of cancer. Most of those deaths are lifestyle induced. All of obesity and diabetes, that's again 95% lifestyle induced. I'm just totally stumped that the society in general would blame the producer of the poison.
Right.
Right.
Well, and actually nobody here is. They're just saying this. I mean, why this made the news was because this woman died and they basically said she just OD'd on Coca-Cola.
And she did.
And
she did. Absolutely.
And to me it was like, wow, like how can you be 30 years old and to me it was just like, it was unbelievable, the addiction, and then not get help. So
I knew this one, Scott. I knew this one woman, 35-year-old, educated accountant. She was addicted to Diet Coke, maybe Pepsi. I don't know, one of the two diet drinks, And she was so bad that she was having to, she would wake up in the middle of the night and she'd have to hit herself with an 8-ounce glass just to keep herself going. And she had migraines almost daily, high blood pressure, obesity, all kinds of stuff going. And she eventually, and she, oh, she had personality issues. Like she was very short-tempered and miserable. And eventually she lost her job that I knew her through. But at some point in the future, past that period, she actually did get it. She actually went and weaned herself off of this diet drink, and she got her head back together. She lost a ton of weight and you know, was living a wonderful, adjusted life. Thank you very much.
Well, that's a good story.
It's a good story, but she was a total wreck.
Well, isn't that what they say? If you're addicted, you need to hit bottom before you'll actually make a change.
Yes. Unfortunately, many people die on their way to find the bottom.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Mm. Well, so thanks for looking up the Coca-Cola. That goes along with it. I really wanted to just put this podcast out there to people to wake up and put pressure on the politicians. Because we, the people out here, need to just decide what kind of country we want to live in, what kind of lives we want to live in. And I think it's been enough. You know, it's enough of this nonsense from top down telling us that whatever comes from God, God's creation called hemp, all of a sudden is banned, or God's creation called tobacco is controlled or whatever, right? All of these regulations, the only thing it creates is advantage for people who are able and willing to operate within that terrain, whether it's legal drugs growing or whether it's illegal drugs growing and distribution. It only creates mayhem in the society. I mean, the violence spill-off that exists, I mean, United States has turned into a most, what's the word for it? The country with the most prisoners per capita in the world. Mm-hmm. Like 5 times as many prisoners per 10,000 in United States compared to any other country. You know, Europe, Britain, Germany, somebody like that. Yeah. All we're doing is we're jailing entrepreneurs. People who are essentially trying to make a living.
Who are fulfilling a demand.
Yeah, absolutely. Supplying into a market that's vibrant and ready to consume. And in the process, I mean, did you see the numbers? How many Mexicans get killed annually because of this drug trade?
No.
I mean, it's tens of thousands every year. I think it's like 50 or 60,000. I don't know the number off the top of my head.
Well, I know the number for Jamaica, and it's 90 people a day are shot because of the drug trade. And yeah. I think it's 1% of the cocaine comes to the United States through Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that just blows my mind because I think now I'm assuming that it's put on a boat and shipped on the water to the States, right? I could be totally wrong. It could be flown in.
Yeah, it could be small planes, you know.
But
small boats, small planes.
If you took a 2 or 3 week period and you put the Navy and the Army and the Marines there and you just said, okay, we're watching, like, how could you not catch them, right? Like,
oh, you would if you wanted to.
If you wanted to. And I think that's the issue. Like, why don't put your effort into that instead of into Afghanistan?
Well, I don't even think that it's necessary. Why don't you just legalize the stuff? Why don't you just legalize it and tax it? You will turn a major expense into a major revenue. I mean, how insane is this?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's Martin for you.
All right, so let's go to the next level of that, and that is people are addicted. I've never done cocaine, I've never done heroin, I've never smoked dope. So, I've had a
You're
beer.
totally innocent.
No, I have my addictions, but it's more sugar,
Yes.
to be quite honest. And I'm addicted to sugar. I'm working on it, but
But there you are, right? You're addicted and it's hard to break.
it's hard to break. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and I feel the withdrawals and everything else. And so the question then is, because I think that, I walk down downtown Vancouver, I see junkies, drug addicts, and they don't look like they're very productive.
No,
So,
they're not. No.
you know,
I mean, there
so.
are, but you know, these people probably would have become junkies anyway.
Okay.
Illegal
Well,
or not, we made it hard for them to get that way, and still they got that way.
I don't know how hard we made it. I think it was pretty easy, but that's another story. But there are people, like I have another friend who was an addict and he was clean for 12 years and he went back onto the drugs and he lost everything. So my assumption, and correct me if I'm wrong, is if you're high on coke or heroin or meth, crystal meth and this stuff, is it's not always easy to be productive. Like, I mean, one of the reasons I don't try that stuff is that I know,
How bad it can get, yes.
I just know for me, I'm have a hard time, not flying off into the stratosphere without drugs, let alone you give me one.
Well,
So,
let me tell you this way. Sugar is more addictive than heroin.
right, but it's not my, is it, I can still think, I can still perform. I'm
Oh,
not
people on
sure.
heroin can perform just fine.
Yeah, but it's not all of them.
Well, people on meth are in trouble. But okay, let's not discuss how bad it can get. There are ways to get off the addictions. One of the tools we have for food addictions is understanding people's metabolic type. Once I get you understanding your metabolic type, and once I get you eating the foods that make you peaceful, you will not be experiencing the kind of swings and these cravings, because the craving really is an expression of something that it didn't happen 12 hours earlier. So, for
Right.
instance, you should be having a nice, strong, high protein breakfast, and that would start your day in such a way that your 8 p.m. carbo cravings don't kick in. Similarly, we do have some vibrational products. In the Smart Minerals, where, I mean, you and I did these podcasts with Farrell Brenner some, maybe 6 months ago or something like that, where he explained very clearly that the normalizer has the power to reset the self, what's the word, destructive patterns, and allow intelligent behavior to rule the day. So we do have the means. We do have the means to break the patterns.
Right, and that, I think that's really the important thing, is because oftentimes it's like, well, what do I do? I'm a parent, my kid's, doped up all the time or drugged up all the time or high all the time. What do? How can you help? How can you make a difference? How we have a problem, and the alcohol problem didn't go away because we legalized alcohol. We still have people wrapping their cars around poles and running over people and getting into fights at 3 in the morning
Yes.
and beating their wives and their kids because they're drunk. And I mean, just is it more or less than it was before? I mean, I have no idea. The number of people getting shot in Chicago because of the rum trade is, of course, zero now, probably.
Yes, it's not the rum trade. Now it's the coke and pot
That it's
trade.
just been changed to another one, right?
Well, let me say it one more time. We do have the means to reset the emotional part of the mind that causes the addiction. We have the Smart Mineral products, whether it's the gift or the normalizer, they will definitely help the person deal with that.
Okay, so Martin, how would you use the gift? It comes in a small bottle. It's got a dropper, and I got an issue with emotional issues, so I want to reset. Take me through kind of a bit of the process.
Well, keep the bottle on you.
Keep the bottle on me?
Yeah, have it with you.
Have it with me.
Okay, number one rule is have it available.
Yes.
When the need strikes you, and the need is, I'm experiencing an emotional crash, you take one drop and either place it on the breastbone, which is over the heart chakra. That's, right.
Yep.
I don't know. That would be about 6 inches below your base of your neck. Or you can take it orally. You can just put one drop under your tongue, even though this is not the approved method because we're supposedly selling a topical. But it works either way. Or you can put it right on the top of your head, on top of your crown chakra. If you have a child or a pet or whatever it is that you need to correct, you can put it on the top of their head. And make a positive statement. The best one that I know of is, I love myself.
I love myself. And
yeah.
If you say that and you feel like, whatever.
Like for sure not.
Yeah, for sure not.
And then you try and say it again.
And it's still coming. That's an issue for you. That's
right,
the part
right.
I
and if it's care. Still, yeah, sorry. And if it's still coming out as a question instead of a statement.
Oh, yeah, right.
I love myself. That's a question. If it's still coming out like that, then hit it again.
Yeah.
Typically, I don't know of anyone who doesn't clear on 4 or 5 drops. And at that moment, you have about 4 hours of clear sailing.
And you're away to the races.
Yeah. So in those 4 hours, you're likely to make good choices instead of stupid choices.
Yeah, that's right. And that's I think the other side of this whole thing is there's a feeling of hopelessness that I think a lot of people have, where it's like there's nothing that can be done. Whereas,
yeah.
No, you can spend a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there, you can learn a little bit, and then try it, work with it.
Yes.
And work with you.
Yes.
And then see the results.
Right. So this is the first one. Get yourself clear emotionally so that you're not acting from the damage in your subconscious, so that your free will is not having to try and lift the gigantic boulder of your subconscious stuff.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is do the metabolic typing. I am more and more convinced that understanding which foods fix your balance and which foods take you out of balance and using them correctly will deliver you into a balance and health.
Yeah, and it just totally makes sense when you think about it, right?
Right. When you serve your body right, the vehicle will perform. Done. Health is possible.
Health is possible. Who knew? So I have a question about the metabolic balance, and I was somewhere reading some people talking about it. And
there's a bit of a. Go ahead. Sorry,
it was
I'll.
A fascinating question. And the guy asked. He says, "Okay." He says, "My genetic background, my roots are the Andes of South America. So, and my buddy, he's, grew up and all his family grew up in Africa. So if I'm going to take some herbs, would I be better off taking herbs that were from the Andes? Would they be more effective and helpful for me than from Africa and my friend, vice versa?" And I thought, wow, I never really thought about that. Right.
Well, okay. Let's answer it this way. Probably yes. However, you're now trying to deal with the minutest of a difference. In human experience, we have these major components, and they are carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. Those are the major blocks of our nutrition.
Yeah.
All the other little things like vitamins, enzymes, proanthocyanidins, and plant sterols, and all of other stuff that has these long, complicated names, that's like a bump on a log, and the log is 6 foot diameter. So we need to understand, maybe we should just pause this here and record the next podcast because we've been talking too long. What do you think? So now I'm, of course, confused. What happened?
Sorry, my had the mute on. All right.
Shit.
So, that's okay. I'll just edit that part out. So thank you, everybody. That's what we're going to do. We're going to continue this in our next episode. So, and that'll be out very, very shortly. You've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Head over to www.life-enthusiast.com. You've got tons of information there about all the things that we've been talking about, where you can find the gift just under, I think it's under products.
If you want to find the gift,
just search.
It's under Smart Minerals.
Smart Minerals under Brands.
Yes.
Yeah, I found it. I actually have the page up, but I just went to search our database, put the gift in, and it came right up. And that, to me, is the easiest way to find anything. But if you've got any questions about anything, just put it into the search, and you'll get 2, 3, 10 articles. You'll get all sorts of great information, and I heartily recommend you do that. So we're going to be talking about metabolic typing, herbs, and all the rest of that in our next episode, and we'll see you there. So thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thank you.